It hit me like a ton of bricks. I couldn't believe it. How clear my eyes, my vision became once it hit me. It was remarkable how fast, how speedy, how sure. I couldn't imagine having such clarity, but here it is. I see finally what I should have known long ago. What am I talking about? Let's lock in here on Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen each and every day. We are a proud member of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. We are also available on YouTube. Rate, review, subscribe, however you get your content fix. Make sure Locked On Grizzlies is a part of your equation. I am Joe Mullinax flying solo on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. And I want to give a special shout out to our title sponsor today. Our title sponsor is Prize Picks. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Now, I bet you're wondering what I had that boom, pow, my John Madden impression. Where in the world did that come from? What explosive thought could have gone through that cranium of yours into your cerebellum, swaying and swooving through the limbic system? What does swooving mean? I don't even know. I'm creating vocabulary. That's how clear my mind is. It's crazy. It's like I can see things with crystal clearness in a way that I've never been able to before. And it all happened because of watching NBA Sunday night. It's amazing. I'm sitting and I'm watching the Memphis Grizzlies, as I normally do, take on the Brooklyn Nets. And the Grizzlies are hanging with the Brooklyn Nets, despite not having Ja Morant or Desmond Bane or Jaren Jackson Jr. on the floor. They're down their three best players, and they're only down 3 points entering the fourth quarter. Now, the fourth quarter goes terribly. Three-point defense is abysmal. All sorts of things that DeMichael Cole, my co-host, and I can perhaps cover on another episode of Locked On Grizzlies down the line. But I just really want to share my excitement with you because I am thrilled to have come to this reality. And this is the reality. The Memphis Grizzlies need to re-sign Dillon Brooks. They need to re-sign Dillon Brooks. They need to re-sign Dillon Brooks. It's been a debate up until this point. Maybe for you, it's still a debate. It's not debatable for me anymore. My eyes have been open. My ears have been allowing the lovely sound of silence to ring through, and it's there in front of me. You give so much credit to so many people, you and I, to all sorts of different Memphis Grizzlies culture contributors. Taylor Jenkins, Ja Morant. We oftentimes, not me, you maybe, not me, we oftentimes do not give Dillon Brooks his due when it comes to him being a cultivator of culture when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies. You have to remember, Dillon Brooks has been a member of the Memphis Grizzlies since 2017. Dillon Brooks in his rookie season was asked to play 82 games, all 82, and start 74 of them the season before Jaren Jackson Jr. arrived. Who was the guy logging minutes on Kevin Durant, who he defended on Sunday night, much more prepared to do so than he was 5 years ago? Dillon Brooks. It was Dillon Brooks that did that. He was the guy that stood in the firing line. He was the one who took the shot, who took the defensive assignment, who said, give me the ball, who said, give me the difficulty of trying to hang with a Kevin Durant, a Luka Doncic, a LeBron James, a Jimmy Butler. Go up and down the list. It was Dillon Brooks. It was him. he was willing to do those things. In Ja Morant's rookie season, he was willing to take the shot when Ja wasn't, and that happened. And if you've watched this team, you know it did. He was the one. Give me the ball. Let me be the bad guy. I miss it. Ah, Dylan stinks. He shoots too much. He's willing to carry that weight. And every good basketball team needs a guy like that. Give him the ball. Give him the responsibility. Pass it off to him. He is mentally tough enough to do what the team needs him to do. Against the Brooklyn Nets, they needed him to be the number one contributor. Did that go the way that everybody expected it to? Absolutely. 31 points on 30 shots. Rudy Gay would be proud. An inefficient scoring night. But you know what Dylan also did? He didn't pick up a single personal foul. Not one. That is growth in his game. Something that I have questioned, you have likely questioned. Most of us that have followed this team for a long time and have watched Dylan Brooks' career, I have watched almost every game Dylan Brooks has ever played as a member of the Memphis Grizzlies. You wonder, can he grow? Can he develop? Can he find a way to improve his game and be the player that the Memphis Grizzlies need him to be? For whatever reason, it came through clear as a lightning bolt to the Chrome Dome. I saw it against the Brooklyn Nets. And maybe I've seen it before, but for whatever reason, it was flashing like the lights on Broadway. Dylan Brooks is one of the key leaders on this basketball team. Is he a flawed basketball player? You bet your tail he is. Goodness, he believes in himself so much to a fault. He's far too confident. He thinks he's the best option, even when he's out there with superstar Ja Morant and star Desmond Bane. He thinks he's the best offensive option. Maybe he shouldn't, but he does. And you know what? You need a dude that has that level of confidence. And here's another piece of reality. You're not finding that dude in free agency with the resources you've got. You're not. In terms of the salary cap next year, the Memphis Grizzlies, if they're going to try to make some sort of move, the best they could do is free up maybe $13 to $14 million in terms of workable cap space in free agency, according to Spotrac.com. $13 to $14 million. That's realistic. If that's renouncing Danny Green, renouncing Dylan's cap hold of about $17 million, that's the cap space that they can work with. Okay? The Memphis Grizzlies are not going to be able to be players in free agency, even if they wanted to be. And guess what? They don't want to be. They've only signed one free agent this entire era. That is Tyus Jones. And they re-signed him. In the next segment, we'll talk about a couple other guys that the Grizzlies re-signed. One that is doing things that he needs to do, and the other one that's not necessarily. You know who hasn't signed another extension yet? Dylan Brooks. And I think it's a mistake. Should have been done. Dylan is willing to defend whoever you need him to defend. Dylan is willing to be whatever you need him to be. And even if that is someone that he doesn't necessarily see as what he is as a basketball player, he is showing signs that he's willing to grow and develop and be what you need. Zero personal fouls. Who defended Kevin Durant whenever he was on the floor? Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks for 34 minutes of playing time. He's on the floor. KD's on the floor. Guess who's guarding KD? KD's off the floor. Kyrie's on. Dylan Brooks is on. Guess who's defending Kyrie? Dylan Brooks. It's clear. It's clear. They're not going to be able to get anybody better. Trade? What are you going to trade? What piece are you bringing in? Does Harrison Barnes really fit that culture? If you're going to talk about how important culture is, then why isn't Dylan Brooks a larger part of that conversation? I'm willing to pay him 4-year, $80 million. I'm at that point. If it's a little bit less, that'd be fantastic. That would be my preference. I wouldn't want to pay him that amount. But again, if we're talking about being willing to pay the salary cap and keep this core together, Dylan Brooks is a part of the core. Not because he is a superstar like Ja Morant, not because he has a high ceiling like Jaren Jackson Jr. or a sweet stroke like Desmond Bane, because he's willing to do what none of those guys are willing to do. on a night in, night out basis. He's shown it for 5 years. Dylan Brooks is that guy. I see it clear as day. If you don't, maybe you should open your eyes a little bit wider. Next time you watch, look at those on-off numbers. Look at all those stats. Dylan Brooks is that dude. We'll talk about guys that either are or aren't being that dude for the Memphis Grizzlies with the three stars out. More here moving forward. But first, I do want to give a shout-out to BetterHelp. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user's manual. So when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient and accessible anywhere, and it is 100% online. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedonNBA. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockedonNBA. Dylan Brooks deserves more respect. He should have gotten an extension. Two guys that did get extensions over the summer, not named Dylan Brooks, one of which shined pretty brightly against the Brooklyn Nets. The other one was almost a complete disappearing act. I'll start with the positive here first. John Conchar, if you followed my work throughout my time with GrizzlyBearBlues.com, I've never been a Conchar believer. I've had trouble getting jitty with it. I'm going to be honest with you. He is a player who has clearly surpassed what his physical ability is. He is someone who continues to show that he is capable of development, similar to what we talked about with Dylan Brooks, but even on a grander scale. Dylan has some pedigree going back to his time at Oregon. John doesn't have that from his time as a Fort Wayne Mastodon, I believe, and I don't mean to chuckle. He played Division I basketball, just not on the scale that Dylan Brooks did. He has done nothing but work on his game, be malleable, fit wherever he needs to fit, find a place where he can be elite as a rebounder. That's shown through against the Brooklyn Nets. Conchar, in 33 minutes played, grabbed 9 rebounds. The only guy who grabbed more rebounds than him was Steven Adams. Santi Aldama grabbed 3 rebounds. Brandon Clark, who we'll talk more about here in a moment, grabbed 3 rebounds. So you've got a shooting guard, essentially, a wing player on the perimeter, getting more rebounds combined from those two guys, Aldama and Clark, plus 3. He shot the 3. He didn't make them as much as he certainly would have liked, but 2 for 7 isn't the end of the world. He was 2nd on the team in free throw attempts, which is massively important. Shows that he was getting shots off. He was creating contact. One of them was on a 3-point shot, or a couple of them might have been. But he was getting fouled. He was finding his shot. He was creating offense for others. 7 assists. He was on a triple-double watch early on in the game. And obviously things got away from Memphis in the fourth quarter. And again, 3-point defense, things that maybe DeMichael and I can cover a little bit more down the road. But I wanted to acknowledge that John Conchar probably had his best game as a member of the Memphis Grizzlies against the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday night. He was their 2nd best player. And for 3 quarters, that was enough to hang with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons and a Brooklyn Nets team that for the first time in a long time, perhaps the entire season, looked like the team that a lot of people expected them to be. The starting 5 of Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, Royce O'Neal, Joe Harris haven't played a ton together this season for a variety of reasons. They started this one, and the Memphis Grizzlies did not have their full slot of players. And John Conchar, again, for 3/4 of the game, this was a game. The Grizzlies won the first quarter. The Grizzlies won the second quarter. They were up at halftime by 5. Brooklyn won the third quarter by 8. You can see the defense starting to slip, and then things got away from them in the fourth quarter. The Grizzlies' offense died out. That was all she wrote. All right, the Brooklyn Nets pull away for a 127-115 win. But Conchar's ability to fit with whatever the team needs him to do continues to be impressive. And he, when he shoots, again, that's been my biggest complaint about him, he needs to take the shot. He took the shot in this game. and he has done so more lately. And he has to, because there's no one else right now to take those freaking shots. You would hope that Jaren Jackson Jr. comes back for the Sacramento Kings game on Tuesday. This game on Sunday was a rest recovery game for Jaren. So you would assume that Jaren will have a chance to be number one with a bullet in terms of offensive production against the Kings. In this one, it was a tough showing, and John Conchar stepped up and was what the Grizzlies needed him to be. Brandon Clark wasn't. And again, Conchar signed a contract extension over the summer. So did Brandon Clark. And Brandon Clark, I'm not sure what happened. For whatever reason, it was not his night. He had the worst plus minus on the team at minus 20 in 17 minutes played. That's not good. Scores 2 points in the entire game, 17 minutes. Guys that played more than him, David Roddy, Jake LaRavia, Santi Aldama. Those are three names that should never play more minutes than Brandon Clark, ever. Ever. Those are three dudes that shouldn't be on the floor longer than someone that just signed a pretty substantial key rotation player contract extension. Clark struggled mightily. And even if it's just a one-game thing, you need him to be what Tyus Jones is. Tyus Jones wasn't dominant in this game, but he was serviceable. He did his job. You need Brandon Clark to do his job, and he didn't do it. He didn't produce for the bench. The bench was dominated. Yuta Watanabe, former Memphis Grizzlies player, Yuta Watanabe comes in and helps the Brooklyn Nets bench dominate the Grizzlies. 25 minutes off the bench for Yuta, 16 points. Seth Curry, 10 points. One of the Morris brothers, Markieff, 17 minutes, 8 points, 2-for-4 from 3, 7 rebounds in 17 minutes, the same amount of playing time. Brandon Clark got outplayed by Markieff Morris. He did, flat out. And Markieff Morris is at a point in his career where that should not be happening to Brandon Clark. Markieff Morris is a good basketball player still, but he shouldn't be beasting Brandon Clark like that. Shouldn't be happening. So I don't know if Brandon just didn't have the energy in this game. Maybe he's banged up and he's playing through some stuff because of all the other injuries. All of that is possible. But you need more. And again, if we're talking about money starting to dry up in terms of getting closer to the tax, let's say they do sign Dylan Brooks to the contract that I just mentioned earlier, 4 years, $80 million. That's possible. Again, his cap hold is 17. So you think that's the floor. That's the bottom. So let's say it is an $80 million deal over 4 years. So that puts it at $20 million per. Brandon Clark signed a 4-year deal where he's making $12 million starting next season, 12.5 mil. He and Steven Adams are making roughly the same amount of money. They should have roughly the same impact. Doesn't always work out that way. They're human beings. They're going to have off nights. I'm not saying they're not going to. But again, it's a business. You're paid to do a job. Brandon Clark is paid to be a productive player on this roster beyond what he is currently showing. It's just not there at the moment. He's not doing what he's supposed to do on a night-in, night-out basis. And again, maybe more information will come out. He's injured. There's something happening there for whatever reason. Maybe he's just really dependent on playing alongside guys like Jaren Jackson Jr. That's possible, too. He has a role, athletic kind of game that really is dependent on having space. And that certainly was not easy to come by against the Brooklyn Nets for all the reasons that we've already established. It was a rough night. Those happen. But John Conchar, time in and time out, as of late, maybe not in terms of shooting the basketball, but he is producing. And against Brooklyn and in other recent games like OKC, he has shot the basketball. He has done what he's been asked to do. Brandon's got to do the same thing. He has to be willing to take those shots. And if he's not, the Grizzlies are going to continue to struggle. That's just the reality of things. Thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. We are going in the final segment to talk about two rookies who really have shown varying levels of competency when it comes to what they're capable of doing for this Grizzlies roster in the here and now. But before we get to that, I want to give a special shout out to Prize Picks. Big fan of Prize Picks. And I can't stress enough, it's different from other ways of doing daily fantasy, okay? And it focuses more on more or less than anything else. Like, you could take John Conchar to score more than 12 points in a game, or you could take Brandon Clark to rebound less than 7.5 rebounds. It's fun, it's easy, and it's really, really pretty fast to start up in. You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they go more or less in their prize pick projections and you get them right, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy on sports from cricket to NBA and everything in between. You have fast and safe withdrawals that are currently operational, in over 30 states as well as in Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Jake LaRavia and David Roddy, both being asked to do more than they're ready to do at this stage of the NBA, of their NBA careers, I should say. I think most of us would agree with that reality. David Roddy and Jake LaRavia probably shouldn't be the leading minute getters off of the Grizzlies bench at this stage. But again, no Zaire Williams, no Desmond Bane, no Jaren Jackson Jr., no Ja Morant. In a perfect world, Tyus Jones is a reserve, John Conchar is a reserve, Santi Aldama is a reserve. But all three of those guys were starters against Brooklyn, going against KD and Kyrie and Ben Simmons. Again, the starting lineup for Brooklyn looked like what a lot of people expected it to be when the season began. The Grizzlies starting lineup looked nothing like what fans and media and others that follow the NBA expected it to look like. So LaRavia getting 29 minutes, Roddy getting 24, far from ideal. These are two players that are more long-term pieces for this Grizzlies team. However, they both have shown the ability to produce in a variety of ways. When it comes to LaRavia, it's that three-point shooting that DeMichael, my co-host, has talked about consistently on this show. Really impressive in terms of that stroke. He's consistent with his technique and his form, and it pays off, to be honest with you. It pays off in terms of his capacity to be able to be counted on to make those buckets. He was 3 for 9 against the Nets, 33%. Obviously, you'd like to see a little bit higher conversion rate than that, but you got to keep in mind he's a rookie playing 29 minutes. That's not ideal for him in terms of his development. Playing time is key. But it was good to see him not just take those shots and be confident enough to find his looks, but also try to find looks for others. 3 assists stood out to me in terms of looking at his numbers from the Brooklyn Nets game. And watching the game itself, he is very aware of where his teammates are, where the system is fitting around him, and trying to get them the ball in spots that are advantageous for them to try to score at a high level. Doesn't consistently hit, obviously. Memphis didn't have the best game. You lose the way that Memphis did there in the fourth quarter in particular. It's not like you're thriving, so to speak. But he showed enough flashes that it made me confident that LaRavia is a guy that the team's fully healthy. He might be the 10th or 11th man. Hopefully he still gets a little bit of run, because I think that in spot minutes, he makes a lot of sense development-wise. A guy that makes a lot of sense moving forward as a development piece beyond the Memphis Grizzlies side of things, maybe the Memphis Hustle down in South Haven would make a little more sense for him, is David Roddy. And David Roddy, again, I'm thrilled to see him take less threes. I thought he was forcing it early in the season. Again, rhythm threes are key for him. He only took 3 threes against the Nets in 24 minutes of play. He made one of them, same percentage as LaRavia. But if Roddy were to shoot 9 threes, I don't think he's making 3 of them. That's just my personal takeaway. Maybe that's not fair to David Roddy, but I trust Jake LaRavia's stroke and technique, the way he sets his feet, the way that he gets up It just is a smoother shot than Roddy's is at this point. What I trust Roddy doing more than I trust Laravia doing is using his body to get to the basket and get some looks at the rim. David Roddy is built like a football player because he was a football player in high school. He was a quarterback, I believe, and he was a big quarterback at that. I think he's 6'6 or 6'7, 265 pounds, and he's athletic. It's not like he's not able to make runs at the rim and get to the basket. He's no Zion Williamson, but he has the capacity to use that frame off the dribble to create space for himself to operate and then close it at the basket. And he showed some willingness to do that against the Brooklyn Nets. He has that size and he has the capacity to be able to utilize it and find ways to get himself open, not necessarily on the perimeter, but at the basket. I want to see Roddy do that more. But again, against Brooklyn, against a team that was essentially at full strength or pretty close to it, much closer to it than the Memphis Grizzlies are, he did some things that looked good. Roddy looks the part of a future NBA rotation player, especially on a good basketball team, a winning basketball team, which is what Memphis needs them to be. Let's go back to the earlier part of the show. Let's say they do make the decision to keep Dylan Brooks, 4 years, $80 million. The tax is going to start hitting them. Maybe not next season. I think they can still skirt it next year. But the year after that, when Desmond Bane almost certainly is a full max player, they're going to be in the tax, or they're going to have to move on from a Steven Adams or a Brandon Clark, someone along those lines. They're going to have to make some tough choices. But the rookie deals of David Roddy and Jake Laravia will still be in the mix. The second round contract that they got Kennedy Chandler to sign, when Tyus Jones's deal does expire, maybe leaves a little bit of money available there for that Desmond Bane extension. Kennedy Chandler can step into that role in theory. So they can continue to find ways. Credit to Robert Pera, the owner of the Memphis Grizzlies. He has said that he's willing to pay the tax. I'm sure he doesn't want to do it repeatedly, and I'm sure he would like to avoid it if at all possible in that market in Memphis. You want to maintain a winning team, but at the same time, you don't just want to throw money at a problem if you think you can replace guys. It's possible the Grizzlies see Laravia and Roddy combined as a pseudo-replacement for Dylan Brooks, but to put a nice bow on this episode, you can't replace the mentality of Dylan Brooks. You can't replace the role that he has played in cultivating the culture of competition, of defensive energy, of turning defense into offense, and not just turning it into offense, but turning it into an attitude to be aggressive at the rim. Dylan Brooks has played a massive role in that. And I'm not sure that it makes sense for him to go somewhere else where he may not have that opportunity to play that large of a role, maybe not in terms of scoring the basketball, but in terms of setting the standard of what it means to be a member of a franchise. Dylan has reached that Tony Allen level where he's probably more valuable to the Grizzlies than he is to anybody else. Now, what does that mean for a future contract? That's, you know, I put down my number. DeMichael may disagree with me, and we'll talk more about that in the future. But whether Dylan's here or not, the fact remains as the Grizzlies continue to pay these key contributors, Desmond Bane for sure, they are going to have to continue to hit on these first-round picks and find ways to develop them. So losing a game to the Brooklyn Nets on a Sunday night, it stinks. You don't want to lose. But at the end of the day, you have the opportunity to see Laravia take those shots and look smooth and consistent. You have a chance to see Roddy use his body and get to the rim off the dribble and box guys out and make sure his frame is being utilized the way that it should be. Those are promising signs. And those are guys that are going to be around the next few years unless some trade happens. But again, history tells us the Grizzlies are unlikely to make that kind of a major move. Time will tell. But I think that if you are talking about Grizzlies culture and a Grizzly standard, you have to remember who helped set that standard. And it's a guy that was there when literally none of these other dudes were. It's Dylan Brooks. I think we don't need to just give him his flowers. We need to give him his money. Thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen today. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. The next time Locked On Grizzlies is on the podcast and YouTube waves, DeMichael and I will almost certainly be back together. I have made some pretty grandiose statements in this episode. I have had some takes that are not just hot. They bear some spice that maybe will stick with us for a little bit. So maybe DeMichael's going to need to respond a little bit to my Dylan Brooks feelings or, you know, my Brandon Clark concerns. There's lots of different things that we could kind of dive into heading into a game where we assume Jaren Jackson Jr. will be back in the fold against the Sacramento Kings. You won't see Ja Morant and you won't see Desmond Bane, but first option Jaren, maybe we can get a little bit of taste of. That'll be a good thing to look forward to. And I look forward to being back with DeMichael here on Locked On Grizzlies. But thank you for making us a part of your Memphis Grizzlies experience. Thank you for making us your first listen each and every day, wherever you get podcasts on YouTube. Rate, review, subscribe. Continue to make us a piece of your consumption of NBA content. It is much appreciated.